Wick Grossbeck, the governor of the Boston Celtics, on Banner 18 Day, joining us in about 20 minutes at 8:25. Developing cluster F to be aware of, Courtney, and that is westbound on the Massachusetts Turnpike in the city.
Yeah, a crash happened in the Prudential Tunnel. It's blocking the left travel lane, so traffic pretty jammed up approaching that area.
Okay. An obscure reference, I think, based on the Bill Russell Bridge. I believe that was the bridge that FBI agent John Hamm wanted to have shut down in the town. Am I correct about that?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Back to
great
news.
Scene.
In Sterling, a couple's political signs were set on fire outside their home. Blaine Burchard's neighbor had to call 911 after noticing that the Burchard's Harris Walz, Elizabeth Warren, and Jim McGovern signs were all on fire.
Oh.
Here's Burchard on BZ.
We really should all be alarmed, whether it's a Trump sign stolen or a Harris Walz stolen. It's a problem in the long run for this country. It's our job, all of our jobs, to defend the commonality of America.
Not to mention that the damage, Curtis, that was probably done to the planet and the climate by the fire.
Well, crazily, they left the hate doesn't have a home here sign fully intact.
Listen, I mean, what do we got, 2 weeks left?
Yeah.
Like, can everybody just behave civilly toward each other?
No, great.
You are allowed in this country to have differing political opinions. You should respect the opinions of others who disagree with you. Mm-hmm. I oftentimes enjoy a lively debate on political issues, and I value the opinion of nearly everybody.
Right. It all sounds logical.
We can... oftentimes, the best course is to not tell anybody who you're voting for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, leave it off of the social media. I mention it often, but I one time, as a young man, asked my mom who she was voting for. She said, none of your business.
Mm-hmm.
And that used to be the way it was, and it worked out pretty well.
We need the likes. Country. We need to show the pin.
No, I'm loving the social media content that is like a husband and wife or two best friends, and they're going to the polls, and they're saying, off to the polls to cancel each other's vote out. So that shows that, you know, you can still be friends with someone, you can still be married with someone if you don't agree with them on everything.
Now, I will say, maybe we'll do it at some point. We got to have, I think we should have a debate on this show on question five.
Oh, thank you for bringing that up.
The people who work, like my good longtime friend Brian Blackie,
mm-hmm.
All right,
is a bartender, a lifelong bartender, is very upset about question five.
Yep.
He's not in favor of it,
right?
And he works as a bartender in a restaurant in a bar. So I think we need to have a back and forth on that.
I don't understand it because, like you, everybody I know that's related to the industry in any way is staunchly opposed to this.
Yeah.
Correct.
So who's for it?
What is question five, Greg?
Huh?
For us that don't know.
What is question five?
Yeah, what is question?
It would raise the minimum wage for those who work in restaurants and bars.
All right.
So I think it's an out-of-state organization that has done this whole thing.
All right.
Like, they don't know what works in our state or but what were you going to ask, Shai?
Well, because, like, doesn't that it also hurts the consumer, being me, because when I walk in, my food is now going to be more expensive, correct?
Correct.
So literally nobody involved in this wants this?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. I don't get it at all. I keep thinking I'm missing something.
But people are not, like, Channel 5 did a poll, and 62% of the people that they polled were in favor of it.
So
and
people...
Don't take my word for it. Take the word of the people who actually work every day for tips and love working for tips.
Yeah.
Once this passes, people are not going to tip them anymore.
Right. I think the 62% are people that don't have any type of connection to anybody that works in the service industry.
But that's
and
who
so
should
they
be
just
voting.
Think that that's what they want.
Yeah, but if minimum wage is raised, isn't that more money in their pocket?
Why would people who work in the field not want it?
Like people, the people who work in the restaurant,
whatever
the minimum wage is for restaurants, it's like, you know, I don't know if it's $5 an hour, $7 an hour, plus tips. They prefer that. That's what they want. They want.
But will you still have plus tips even with the raising of minimum wage?
No, people will not tip.
No, but they'll still be allowed to tip.
They will, but they won't do it. Like, this is common sense.
Right.
I mean, I think people will still tip regardless.
Isn't this kind of like what's... No,
they're not going to.
Isn't so this you, what
I can assure
like
you I would not.
What's that, Sean?
I said I can assure you I would not.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm calling caps. So no. You're going to walk into a restaurant and you're not going to tip a person that is waiting on you?
If I know that it's not a tip-driven business anymore,
correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Curtis,
it's like when I go get coffee. Curtis, I don't tip the coffee people every single
Curtis,
time.
Curtis, you lived in London.
Yes.
In Europe, aren't they paid a higher wage so then you don't tip in Europe?
Yeah, there's a VAT, and then there's usually a service charge.
And the service sucks. Blows. No disrespect to Europe. It sucks.
Right. They love Americans because they don't know the difference, so they tip because Americans overseas tip more than the locals do. But yeah, it's a total S show. And I don't know, if somebody was doing something about radio or media, I'd hope people would listen to those that work in the field and see what's best for them, because it's not impacting me the same way it would be these restaurant workers who uniformly, I mean, Greg, I mean this. I'm so glad you brought it up. I was watching this weekend, and across social media, everybody I interacted with or saw was against it. When they're the ones working in the field.
Well, yeah. My guy, Chef Nick, says that vote no on it. He's a chef. He's in that restaurant business, I guess. It's a lot of issues.
Vote no on it.
Yeah, because then they'll pool their tips and all that other stuff.
Well, this is Zach from Lemonster, who apparently works in the industry. Zach, what do? Bartender, server?
I'm a server.
Okay. Where do you work?
I work in Devon's, actually, at the Devon's Common Center as a banquet server, but I've also worked in the service industry since I was a kid.
Okay. And are Curtis and I correct? Most people in the industry don't want this?
A lot of us are actually really afraid that this is going to get passed. So basically in Massachusetts, there's already a law that if with tips you don't make minimum wage, the restaurant is legally obligated to pay you out $15 an hour. What this will do, we'll put less money in our pockets because we have to pool it with every single employee of the restaurant. So overall, we're going to make less money. The food's going to be more expensive for you guys. And really, like you guys said, everyone who is voting like yes for this, it seems like doesn't work in the restaurant industry.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I vote no. I'm going with the restaurant people say.
Me too.
As a public service, we should do some sort of a debate day on this question. Oh, I see Ty Law's here. We should also...
He's a big tipper.
We should do a debate on the legalizing shrooms.
Yeah.
Who would we have to represent the various sides on that? Is Aaron Rodgers available? Maybe.
I feel like Jackson might be into that.
And the shrooms?
I don't know. Is he?
I have no idea.
I think most people are right now.
You call up Jake Plummer?
Save that for next week. We got to get to the irrational fear this morning.
We do. 36-year-old Italian surfer Giuliana Manfrini was out on her board in Indonesia when a swordfish unexpectedly jumped out of the water and pierced Manfrini in the chest, killing her.
What are the odds of something like this?
Terrible.
So she's surfing.
Yep.
And out jumps a swordfish.
Yep.
And gets her in the heart?
Yes.
Jesus.
And sadly, she passed away.
Correct. This is very Steve Irwin.
Yeah, crocodile hunter.
Yeah.
Stingray got him.
Oh, my
really
God.
Sad. Really sad. 36 years old.
Jesus. Yeah, that is maddening that it just jumps out by her and catches her.
Right.
Very, very, very scary. And you wouldn't think that, I mean, it would be possible, but apparently it is. So.
Something is up in the ocean right now.
Yes, it is.
It is. The wildlife is angry.
Something spooked the swordfish to jump out of the water.
Right.
Yeah. Do swordfish normally jump out of the water?
I think they can, but, you know.
But do they normally? Usually I feel like dolphins and whales are the only ones I see really come out of the water.
That is true.
Amen.
What else?
Bad update for Lieutenant Dan, the guy that we were following during Hurricane Helene and then Hurricane Milton. He didn't want to leave his boat. He's been arrested.
Oh, no. Oh, boy.
Yeah, the 54-year-old was arrested on multiple charges, including failing to appear in court and was trespassing in a city park after a warning to not. He also was creating a health hazard because he didn't have an accessible marine sanitation device on his unregistered boat.
Not surprising.
Yeah.
So you're saying that Lieutenant Dan, when he had to go, he would go in the ocean.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
He was aqua dumping.
Oh, boy. That's not right.
No.
Never meet your heroes.
That's not fair to others.
The only way I'm going to go to a motel room is if a woman invites me and she's going to stay. That's the only thing I'd give the boat up for is a girl.
Yes, we know. We are aware of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
Well, can I just end with a Tennessee haunted house, which has been dubbed a torture chamber under disguise that's operating yet again for Halloween, despite tons of people year after year asking for it to be shut down. The owner has been probed for traumatizing visitors and calls for the sadistic experience to be permanently axed. It's called Macamie Manor. It's controversial. If you're watching on Twitch, you can see it right now. This is
so this
frozen.
Dude is running like one of these Halloween scare theme park things.
But this is an extreme one.
Okay.
Don't you get like 10 grand if you get through it?
But he says no one's ever gotten through. It's 70 miles southwest of Nashville, and you have to sign a 40-page waiver just to get in the door.
Uh-huh.
Some participants said that they were waterboarded, tased, whipped, taunted with spiders, and trapped in boxes.
Oh, this guy is a hard-o.
This sounds right up my alley. Right?
No, it gets worse. It gets worse. The waiver indicates that tooth pulling, finger breaking, or head shaving also may be endured.
Okay, I'm out.
Oh, my God. So somebody's walking through there with their significant other. They accidentally went to this because they thought it was a fun Halloween thing, and they strap them down and yank a tooth out?
Yeah. And it is important to note that Macamie was arrested over the summer for attempted murder, rape, and domestic assault involving an incident with his girlfriend. The charges have been dropped.
Shut it down.
Nope.
All right,
open
great
again.
Stuff. Courtney, thank you.
Thank you.
Wild.
All right, that is the news. Whit Grosbeck, the governor of the Boston Celtics, will join us next. First, Courtney, in what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. It is Banner Night. Our champs kick off the regular season tonight, welcoming the New York Knicks to town. The Banner 18 ceremony will take place at 7 p.m. with tip scheduled for 7:30. The only guy on the injury report to start the season is Kristaps Porzingis, who's rehabbing from his surgery. The Bruins also in action tonight, taking on the Predators in Nashville. Puck drop is at 8:45. The Ravens took down the Bucks 41-31, and the Cardinals beat the Chargers 17-15 in Monday Night Football last night. And it is bad news for Brandon Ayuk. He's been diagnosed with a torn ACL, MCL, and will be out for the remainder of the season. And an MRI has confirmed that Deshaun Watson has a ruptured Achilles. And with the drastic rise of diabetes, dementia, and cancers, we've been fooled by food. Reverse the food curse, at awaken180weightloss.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
56 degrees, sunny skies, beautiful day this afternoon, high in the low 70s.
Coming up at 9, Thai Law on a Thai Tuesday on Gerard Mayo, referring to his football team as soft and then walking it back yesterday on the show and other things. That is coming up at 9 on today's show. But right now, a man whose organization will raise the second banner in their tenure this evening at the Boston Garden, Wick Grosbeck. Hey, Wick.
Hey, man. How we doing?
Great. How are you?
You got Ty Law in the house, the great Michigan Wolverine.
Yes, he is.
What's going on, Wick? How you doing, bro?
Ty is in the house, I think.
I remember you well, Ty. Your three World Super Bowls and Hall of Fame and all that. It's unbelievable to talk to you, man.
Oh, man. Good day, man. Congratulations to you, man. You guys doing the damn thing. Y'all kicking it off tonight, right?
Yeah, we're not just talking about it. We're doing it.
All right.
In fact, I think Ty
has a lot. I've done a lot of talking about it over the last 20 years. It's good to get another banner.
Oh, yeah. Ty has Wiggy seats for tonight.
Well, Ty is ahead of me, so you know what? Hey, I don't mind taking a back seat.
Before we get into this season and all that stuff, we were just talking about the Bill Russell Bridge dedication ceremony yesterday, and you were there. Yeah. What a really cool honor for Bill Russell.
It was perfect, or so good. And everybody who spoke talked about Bill being a bridge, okay? He bridged and taught people and brought knowledge and insight and wisdom, and everything about him was magical and the best ever. And it's a really nice, it really feels like a perfect honor for him.
Wick, I mean, obviously, great season last year, but now as fans, we start to talk about repeat. And Mazzulla talked about the pressure, not from the outside, but from the guys in that locker room putting on themselves to be great and do it again. What have you seen with some of these guys and just, you know, them, you know, wanting to take it to a whole nother level?
It's true, Wiggy. It felt like after last season with the loss in Game 7 to the Heat, it felt like we were driven and, you know, annoyed and focused and all the words, but it also felt a little sheepish, like we were down 0-3, we came back, we lost, well, there was a twisted ankle. It just didn't feel, but this is like guys on completely on a mission and more confident guys on a mission. I don't know what's going to happen. We got some great teams ahead of us or with us. We got one tonight with the Knicks. I don't know what's going to happen, but Jalen and Jason and Pritchard and Horford and everybody are laser focused, and Porzingis looks pretty good in practice. So I'm hoping we can get off to a good start this season.
Jason Tatum entering his eighth season in Boston, and he told Mark Spears this week that he can't imagine leaving this city ever and starting over somewhere else. So it sounds like he's a Celtic for life, Wick.
I mean, that's what we want. We just signed him to the Supermax, of course, and you know, we want guys of his character and his talent and his skills. And he's grown every year. Jalen has grown every year. They've grown together and they make everybody else better. And he's just a cornerstone of this. And he is so happy. I asked him the other day, what are your memories of the championship and everything? He goes, the parade was literally the best day of my life. Jalen said the exact same thing. It's not the actual championship game. It was the parade. And people, and they haven't seen anything until they see tonight. Tonight's going to be amazing as well. So these guys are the real deal, and we're really lucky to have them as Celtics.
Wick, when you talk about the feel of them coming into this season and how excited they are and how fired up they are, do you think that that's coming from the national media and their response to how they won the championship last year or the Olympics and Jalen getting not getting the nod going to Paris? Like, yeah. You must be so proud of the way in which these guys have responded to any type of criticism when they're at the highest of highs.
It makes it all the sweeter. I have some brief remarks tonight, and I am going to touch on the topic a little bit in a positive. Find fuel from the fire out there. And back in 08, you know, in 07, we had a rough year, and people were saying fire Doc and fire Danny. And I'm like, I'm not firing Doc. I'm not firing Danny. So deal with it. And it made it sweeter to win. We don't do everything right. I don't make every right decision. The Celtics don't do everything right, but it is really sweet when you've overcome the naysayers and gotten to the top of the mountain.
And this, unlike 2008, Wick, this feels like the start of something. Obviously, it's years five or six, but it feels like the beginning of a run where you have these incredibly talented players, a young coach, a young exec on the precipice of potentially something great.
Well, it feels like that. It's easy, you know, and then 08, you know, 09 was probably our best team. Started 27-2, I believe, coming off of a championship. We started 27-2, and then we had a couple injuries. Then we got to the finals in 10. So we had a run there, but only one trophy. And so I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to say anything about it other than it feels great. Look, we brought everybody back as the top eight. Then we brought the top eight guys back from a truly, actually, like a historically notable team, like one of the better teams or best teams that's ever been assembled in the NBA. Statistically, the number one offense of all time in the NBA, to name one attribute, 37-4 at home, 16-3 in the playoffs, and banner 18 in the rafters. You know, we'll take that and move forward with excitement about this next season.
Wiggy talks all the time about Joe Mazzulla being the best coach in the NBA, and then he gets overlooked at times when it comes to honors that are given.
Guys, you there?
Yeah, can you hear us? Do we lose you, Wick? Hello? Oh, I think
is he there?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
We may have lost him.
I hear him.
Wait, are you back, Wick?
I'm back now. I lost you for some reason. I had to turn off my Wi-Fi or something. So
okay.
Can you say that again?
Yeah, Wiggy talks all the time about Joe Mazzulla being the best coach in the NBA, and yet he is sometimes overlooked when it comes to, you know, the awards, national awards. What is it? Why do you think he's overlooked when it comes to some the GMs or owners in this league?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Brad luckily didn't overlook him when he promoted. I mean, Brad, it was completely Brad's recommendation and decision to promote Joe to coach, which was brilliant. I would say the first year, honestly, we had ups and downs, and we grew into it. I mean, he was thrown into the fire with like 1 day before training camp, I think, and was interim. And then we made him permanent because he earned that. We had the best record in the league at the time, but we didn't take it all the way. It might have been some growing pains or ups and downs in the first year. He really grew into it last year, and he seems to be in a whole nother level this year. with the quotes yesterday and everything else, I'm like, he's just getting started. So let's see what Joe has for us. But I personally think he's one of the very best coaches, or the best I've ever met. He took these guys and then turned them into a Navy SEAL team, and they were ready for it. They've got they're Navy SEALs at heart. But he, and I don't want to disrespect actual Navy SEALs because we are not Navy SEALs, but that mentality, Joe has that mentality, and we try to have that mentality, and that's part of the secret sauce that got us Banner 18.
Wick, isn't one of the hottest things to do for a coach in the NBA, I know it's a little different in football, Ty and I played with Belichick, but isn't one of the hottest things to do is to get, especially your superstars to buy in? And that's where I think Mazzulla does a great job with his uniqueness on getting those guys, not just the superstars, but the rest of the team to buy into their roles.
Yeah, he does. I mean, you guys being pro athletes would have, and champions would be, you would have a better perspective of it. But from my standpoint, Joe just connects with you, okay? He's about you, and he's about, I love you. I want you to be your best. And I'll do anything I can to achieve that. Like he's got this magnetism to him, and it's very authentic. It's completely authentic. So that's probably a different style than some of the other coaches out there. It's probably not, the Red Auerbach style of coaching or Vince Lombardi or who knows. It's Joe. It's unique, and it really has connected with our guys, and they would do anything for Joe, and that's what you want with a player-coach relationship.
I'm sure you're sworn to secrecy, but what can you tell us about the rings?
The rings are in the safe in the office, and basically nobody has seen them. but they are massive. I will say that would be a word. And we'll go from there.
How does that maybe take us in? How does that get, who designs that? Is it a bunch of you guys? How does that, and do you look at other rings and you want to outdo other, how does that work?
There was a very small crew, but the heart of the crew, Amelia and I, actually kind of sat down and looked through the offerings from the different jewelers who made proposals and did the rings that they had done in the past. And we went with Jason of Beverly Hills, a spectacular person and a great company. And they've done a bunch of the previous rings in the NFL and NBA. And Major League Baseball and hockey. So they're on a roll, and we are very happy with our collaboration with them. We had a couple people from the Celtics organization. There were probably four of us that worked on the ring and got a little bit of input stylistically from a couple of players. But really, the players didn't want to have any input. They want to be completely surprised tonight, and they are going to be completely surprised. They have not seen the ring.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. The difference between us. Give us a chance to design it. We want to see. But I got a question for you, Wick. Is it this new thing going on? Could you at least tell us if the ring is a two-piecer? Because now, we didn't have those, Wiggy.
Wait,
but
what's
now,
when
the top comes off? Like the top come off and they do and they switch around. They got mechanics in them now.
They can make a necklace with it, right?
Yeah. So is it one of those type of rings, or you got to keep that secret too?
Well, I don't know. Maybe when Wiggy gets his ring, you can.
All right.
Don't say that.
I'm sorry, Wiggy. I'm sorry.
Man. It's all good.
No, I don't have any further comment on if it's one or two. I know if you drop it, it will be multiple pieces because the thing weighs a lot. But that's all I have to say about the piece.
Okay. Right.
We're looking forward to seeing it tonight.
I'm assuming some surprises in addition to the rings tonight for those who are lucky enough to be in the building.
Well, I think the rings and the banner are probably the centerpiece of everything. I don't know what I mean. There's no flyover. There's a roof on the garden. So other than that, I would love to have some stealth bombers, flying over, but we don't have those.
Special guests, halftime show, performers, anything like that?
By the way, the tip-off gala on Friday was a great event to raise money for the Shamrock Foundation. Are you going to wear the tie that you wore Friday night? There's a great story about that tie, which you told that you could tell this morning, Wick.
All right. Well, I was wearing a tie from 1986, and it was handed to me by Red Auerbach. Red gave me and Steve Pagliuca a couple of ties when we met him back in 03 or 02, it even was. And he said this, and the one he happened to give me was an 86 championship tie from that team, that Larry Bird team. And he said, I hope you get your own someday, but this one for now, this is going to have to do. And he gives me this tie. I hope it brings you good luck, kid. And because I was a kid at the time, I was 41.
Yeah.
And so I wore that. I only wear that tie very rarely. You got to win a championship to wear that tie. So it didn't feel right to win it, or wear it. But we'll see tonight. You know, people don't usually, aren't usually that curious about my outfit. So I'm really, I don't even know how to answer the question of what I'm wearing tonight.
You probably ought to light up a cigar tonight, maybe, in honor of Red.
Probably ought to light up a cigar. You guys have lots of ideas. Why don't you guys win a ring, and then you can design it.
We'd need to be part of the Celtics in front office in some way.
Okay, Wiggy, we understand.
We are making over 300 rings. That is true. There are a lot of rings going to go out in a couple of ways here. Yeah, tonight we've got about 82 rings going out. Today and another 200 plus coming in a few weeks.
That's unbelievable. Well, it is exciting. I know it's exciting for you guys and everybody associated with the organization. And it is the tough thing to do when it comes to sports to repeat. So, but this team looks poised and ready to do it. Yes, Courtney.
And a hell of a birthday party for Brad Stevens.
A hell of a birthday party. I don't know what it is. Is he 29 or what? He looks like he's 29. But he's brilliant. You guys, by the way, have been supportive all the way along for years and years, decades, and we appreciate it. You're the voice of the fan as far as I'm concerned, and I listen to what you guys have to say and what your callers and you know, the comments have to say. I care a lot about you guys and appreciate all the support, and let's go celebrate tonight.
All right, Wick. Can't wait. If you see Wiggy and I on the way in, yes. If you just kind of push us through the back door.
Yeah. Oh, God. Pathetic.
Grass Wick.
See you guys. Nice talking to you. Thanks a lot.
All right. There you go.
That is it.
That is Wick Grossbeck.
Repeat City.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Repeat City. That's you know, we always have expectations of our teams. Every year we did it with the Bruins, Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
But I think with the Celtics, it's hands down winning the chip. I don't think there's a team that's even on the same level as them.
Yeah.
You know.
How do you think of, what do you think of Mazzulla as a coach, Wig?
I think he's spectacular. Love Mazzulla. And I wasn't a huge Mazzulla fan.
Oh, I know. You're one of his biggest attractors.
No, but after his first season, we all wanted his job.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge Mazzulla fan. Yeah. I was on the Ime train, but the way he just gets those guys, and Ty will tell you, there are certain coaches that you're just willing to run through a brick wall for, and it seems like Mazzulla has it. Look at where, how we're having conversations about Mayo and his coaching style and some of his players.
But, Greg, just to defend you, not like I try to do that often, but Wiggy can't bring up the Tatum trade if he was all over Mazzulla and now says he's the greatest.
What Tatum trade?
You say how Wiggy, Greg wanted to trade Tatum years ago.
Yeah, I did.
And you try to bust his chops
on. You wanted to trade?
Yes, I did, Ty. Yes, I was wrong about that.
He actually said he would drive him to the airport.
I don't remember saying that.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what you said.
To be fair, Greg has never actually driven to the airport.
But he admitted he was wrong.
Yes.
Like, I admitted I was wrong.
I admit I'm wrong.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? That's the man thing to do.
I understand.
Like, I admitted I was wrong wanting to give Cam Newton $30 million per season.
Yes,
that was. I swung and missed on that one.
You were off a little bit.
But you know what? Hey.
You were.
But, I, you know, you think the thing about Jay and Courtney, you've been on this from day one, but the thing about Jalen and Jason is they've been able to find a way to coexist and make it work. And I think part of that is just because of a lot of it is what some of the things Mazzulla might say to them behind the scenes. And they both have bought in. I mean, I think Jaylen Brown is going to have a spectacular. He might be pushing for, you know, first team all NBA. You might have two guys that potentially could be first team all NBA.
Well, since we apologize, I'm going to apologize about something too, because I was wrong.
You want to do that coming up?
Huh?
You. We'll get your apology coming
okay,
up.
Okay, all right.
Oh, what a tease.
Okay.
We don't know who he's apologizing. Much,
but I mean, I got to say it.
All right.
And Curtis, great point for you in the Twitch chat. I don't know if you saw it or not, but the reason that the Celtics didn't win in 2022 was Bill Belichick.
You know what the funniest thing about the Twitch chat is they hate Belichick talk, but no matter what we're talking about, they're still talking about Belichick. It's amazing.
Ty Law is here.
1,200 people, thank you.
We'll get an apology from Ty Law coming up next. Ty Tuesday on the Greg Hill Show, brought to you by Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of Pro Football Hall of Famer Ty Law, by 110 Grill. Gluten-free dining done right, and Ty Law is with us this morning here in the studio. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's going on?
How you doing?
I could be doing better. I'm just, like, disappointed that... Because I had an opportunity to go to London, right? You know, I said, I'm going to pass on it. I'm so glad I did. You're going to go all the way over there to London to get your ass whipped like that?
They was going to pay for you to go over there?
Man, I had a little something set up with you. I had a little something, but guess what? It wasn't worth the trip.
I hear that.
And actually, the numbers weren't exactly right, so I was like, no.
We know you don't
that
get
math
out.
Ain't mathing.
I've heard it a million times.
No, that's
I don't
you.
Get out of bed for less than $25,000.
No, that is Greg
exactly
all day.
What you say.
Deserve
no,
it.
No, I don't know.
You deserve it.
What my appearance fee is. I've told you like that's what it is. But he don't get it. That's his line. I don't get out of bed unless I get this. And I was like, I gotta steal that one, Greg.
Yeah,
that's not true.
Yeah.
I oftentimes work for the donut. And happy to do it.
Well, that's literal.
Me too.
Happy to do it. And for me, it's the actual donut.
Right. I have a question, Greg, just top of your mind right now.
Yes.
One donut you have to have it, like the number one donut to eat, in your opinion, is what flavor?
Oh, flavor.
Like what kind of donut?
I thought you were going to say the
place. Oh, Cane's is for me, but what flavor?
I like the chocolate glaze,
yes.
Believe it or
great
not.
Great choice.
Interesting.
Excellent job, Greg.
Excellent job, Greg.
I thought he was going to play the politics and say Boston cream.
Oh,
or something.
Yeah. No, I hate Boston cream.
We just call it cream here.
Oh, okay. I like the regular glaze, too, though. The regular glaze is
from Krispy Kreme.
Oh, the Krispy Kreme.
Yeah. That's a regular glaze. But,
on.
I mean, everybody, all the other ones, you know, they ain't hitting on it like
I was at my kids' games at UMass, and there was this, they said there's this place, Curtis, you're going to love this, a donut place in Brooklyn, and they brought these donuts down. They might have been the best donuts I ever.
With the crow nuts?
No, it was just like a regular glaze. And whatever the dough is that they used, it was so...
It's probably a cronut.
Yeah.
Oh, is that the name of the place in Brooklyn?
Well, no.
Yeah, I think it was cronuts he was talking about.
We're all going to get a text from Fitzy in 2 seconds.
Right. Yes. Yeah, I mean, so good. Somebody help me. It's a place in Brooklyn.
During this season, though, it's the apple cider cinnamon sugar donuts.
A-plus
like those from any type
so
of...
So bougie.
What?
Bougie?
A lot going on
too
there.
Much.
Can,
too much.
Too much.
What?
Some people, the cronut is like a croissant and a donut.
Yes, okay. If they had a baby.
Yes. Ken Laird prefers the no-nuts. I don't know if you, Curtis, did you know that?
Well, it hurts to laugh. Right. God dang it.
All right. Well, yeah, you said it. It
he
was
just took
a
his
disaster.
Mask off.
Yes.
Disaster on Sunday.
Oh, my goodness.
And like,
I'm going to start with you, like, because you were on this side of the football. What happened to this defense?
Man, y'all say he tried to backtrack, but that's the thing that came to mind. Soft.
Mm-hmm.
Soft. That kind of soft.
S-O-F-T soft.
Yeah, man, like that is absolutely ridiculous. And the Patriots right now, they got the biggest linebackers and DBs I've ever seen in the league. You know why? Because the linemen back there playing with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get blown out like that and you always back in the secondary, mm-hmm. something is wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just think I don't know if it's the weight room. I don't know if it's a mental check. I said tackle drills, like we bringing up Oklahoma, we jokingly, but that team in the front is just playing out soft. And we had little nicknames for it. Remember what we call Antoine Harris?
What we call
Puddins. You know, he, even though it was Pepper Johnson calling, he was on goal line, and he ran up in there and it just didn't look right.
So his nickname, soft like pudding.
Yeah, his nickname was Puddins. And to this day, we call him Puddins.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
mm-hmm.
that's their whole team. Pudding, Jello. You know what I mean?
Do you wish he didn't walk it back?
Huh?
Do you wish he didn't walk it back?
You know what? He got, because he don't want to lose his team. And I guess you got to know the attitude of your team. But, hell, he can push you back, and I'm going to bring it right. I'm going to push him right back over there, because you was right. your team is soft right now. So it's up to you as a coach to do something about
him.
It. Huh?
That's on – if they're soft, they're not tough, as Devin McCourty said. That's on Jerod Mayo.
Yeah, he got to take some accountability for it. You know, Mayo is my guy, but, yes, we got to come on here and speak facts and speak truth. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think he would do the same thing. But you have to handle that in that locker room. What do you do? Do you get more guys in? Let's understand it. We talk about the rookie quarterback. He's also a rookie head coach. You know what I mean? So you have to give him time to get his guys in there. But right now, I don't know if you inherited a team this soft. You know, because I didn't see that. You wasn't that soft last year. You wasn't winning. Right. But you wasn't that damn soft. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we have to say that's a reflection of you right now.
See, I was – and I asked him, because when he said soft, I'm like – so a guy's turning down tackling, you know how it is. Like,
yeah.
Like you see a guy who's like, all right, I'm not going to go stick my nose in there. Or is it just that, like, because I don't believe, like, Jelani Tavai is, like, soft in the sense where he's going to turn down a tackle. Or are you just saying it, you're playing with no mental toughness? Explain it to me.
No passion, no mental toughness. You're not trying to do anything to spark the team. You know, I'm sitting there looking at guys. You're right. They're waiting on tackles instead of attacking it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're not attacking, which that's what in football, you're supposed to be the aggressor. It's an aggressive game. And so if you're not being aggressive, what are you out there for? You need to get somebody else that is willing to at least go give it a shot and try.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you get caught up into, oh, well, you know what? We paying this guy.
That's fine.
All right.
$100. You know,
exactly. But it ticks me off that you see somebody out there playing that style of football, knowing the tradition that has been in New England as far as the defensive players, at least, you know, you bending but not breaking and playing with some passion.
I have a quick question on this, though. Oh. We all say that Jerod Mayo is a player's coach, right? That's what you say, Greg? Like, he's the guy that does it. So then why are we giving him a hard time for calling out the players then? If we're giving him a hard time for being too coddly to these guys, why is it bad if he calls them out?
Oh, I thought it was great that
he called them out.
Yeah.
A player's coach, you're supposed to call them out. Because the one thing that Jerod has that not many other coaches have is credibility of being a player.
Mm. You know? But Curtis, in addition to calling them out, I don't know that he realizes that he is calling himself out at the same time.
Well, yesterday, like, he said it all starts with me.
Yeah, I think he always kind of says that,
but he also points fingers. He points fingers at the roster. He points fingers at, you know.
That was after my needling.
So, I you know, you had an apology?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to apologize to the fans and the listeners of the show and to you guys for thinking that they going to go 500.
Oh, it's okay.
So I want to apologize to everybody out there. If you placed a bet with me and went on DraftKings, FanDuel, whatever you did, hey, I apologize to everybody sincerely because, damn it, they ain't going 500.
Yeah.
Are they going to win another one? Are they going to win? Wiggy and I were talking about the schedule after the show yesterday.
Yeah, I said that they are everybody's get-right team. So when you play against the Patriots,
you can't
beat the Jaguars.
You the get right team.
Yeah, exactly. You the homecoming team in college.
Yes.
You the homecoming. You know, that's the everybody mark, oh, we gonna win this one.
Right.
Bring in the band, bring in your family.
You're like BC at Virginia Tech.
Hey.
Oh, too soon.
Hit a low of the season, but we will be back.
All due respect, or you're like Michigan and Illinois.
Man, you wrong for that one right there. You wrong. But you know what? Michigan, they stinking up the joint, too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, they
need
a quarterback, too.
Yeah, exactly.
They got that.
No, I'm serious,
you know what,
though.
We got this quarterback.
Who do you see them beating on this?
Oh, I'm looking at it right now. I don't see any wins.
Well, that's why I said when I call them the get-right, teams are looking at them on the schedule and going, whoo, I'm glad we get to play New England because that can maybe give us a little, you know, get us back on track a little. That's who they are.
Yeah. You always see certain people or like quarterbacks or receivers like, oh, well, I'm giving me some stats this week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you know what it is. So that is exactly what New England is right now. No one fears them whatsoever. But I will say a positive note. We got us a quarterback.
Yep.
Yeah. We got us a quarterback.
Yep.
Drake May, I like what he's doing. You got to get a man some help. You know what I mean? He got to sit and watch a little bit. So we got a quarterback. Now it's going to be up to Gerard Mayo, Mr. Kraft, and the Kraft family to sit down and say, okay, how much is we going to open up the Brinks truck? You know what I mean? How much money are we going to dump into this thing? You know what I mean? And bring in some players.
Right.
You get that boy some help. I see some good things in him, man. So I just want to give him his flowers right now.
All right.
I will take them. I will take him back next week.
Yeah,
I'll take him back if necessary. But he deserves his flowers, man.
All right. It's a tie Tuesday. That means Ty Law is here. We'll talk more about the New England Patriots and the rest of the league with Ty Law coming up next.